We're back now with a businessman and entrepreneur, editor and publisher, John Clark, founder and owner of Old Stone Press. And we're talking this evening. We're so fortunate to have John on the show. We're talking about getting aspiring authors published. We're not talking about your Vanity Fairs, your Amazon.coms. We're talking about a personal professional service for you, the aspiring author, the unknown author. How do you get your work out? How do you navigate the maze? Yes, you've got the world at your fingertips on the internet. There's all kinds of information out there about how to do just that. But it's like sticking a Dixie cup in front of a fire hose to get a drink of water. Okay? It's overwhelming. And John has done all that for you, okay? And he can straighten that out. And he's going to help straighten me out. He's going to educate me on just what it is that he and Old Stone Press can do, what he feels his mission is to do for the up-and-coming, the aspiring author. John, welcome back to the show. Thank you again for being here, for taking the time. Now, before the break, I believe we were discussing we were getting to the point where we were talking about, you know, we've talked about the Vanity Fairs, we've talked about the Amazons, and we've talked about what they can do and what they can't do. And I like the way you put it. When you discussed, you know, celebrities, for example, having books, they've already got the name recognition. They've already got probably people to help them navigate this or that. You know, there are probably things that the celebrity never has to even consider when wanting to get their work out there. But in listening to you talk about Old Stone Press, I kind of got the feeling that, well, I'm the celebrity now, okay? I've got this work, and you have looked at it. You think it's worthy, in your professional opinion, of moving further with, and you're going to guide me through that jungle, through that maze. Now, am I right so far?
Yeah, you are right. I think that's, you know, I've been through this. I've done it for lots of reasons, and one thing that really has pulled me through this was because I had a book that I wanted to publish, but I didn't really know how to go about it. So I had to do a lot of research, and I had to do a lot of thinking about how I wanted to invest my money, and I made plenty of mistakes and wasted some money along the way. And I felt while I was doing this, I probably ought to try, if I love the process, but there's got to be other people out there just like me that have got a book in them, whether it's a family member, like in my case, my great grandfather wrote a series of journals that he happened to be a pretty good writer. He was a school teacher and he had a great story to tell, but it never had been published as a book. And I used that to learn from, basically. And it took me a while, it probably took me 6 years to get this developed. I was still running my business, and I still had to do some other things, so I couldn't work at it 100%. But within the last 2 years, though, I had sold my business, and I could focus on this, and I did. And I published a book that is fairly successful. It's basically just been launched, and it's a book that's timeless, so it's not a one and done kind of thing. I do have a sequel that I'm working on that'll come in behind it that I'm editing and putting together. But that will take some time. But while I was doing this book, and after I'd published this book, which was really started early 2013, is when we really launched the book. I've learned a lot since then, and I've learned, one thing that, people think that every book they're going to do is they've got to get it into the bookstores. Well, like I said earlier, the big elephant in the room is Amazon.com. That is where 90% of these books are being sold. 90% of them are being sold. Very few get sold in, you know, are getting sold in Walmart or Target or, for black, all these independent bookstores have been pretty much consolidated, and most of them, or a lot of them, are going out of business, which is a shame, because it takes away the atmosphere of going in and pulling a book off the shelf and, turning the pages and feeling the book and look at it, that sort of thing. But it is reality. You've got to do a printed book, and you're going to have to do an e-book of sorts. Kindle obviously is an e-book. But Amazon.com is and Barnes & Noble to is the other one that has an online service like that. I've learned how to talk to them, basically, and get books listed with them, how to get them distributed, and I've partnered myself with the largest book distributor in the United States, and some might say the world, or soon do be, and that's Ingram, which is located here in the South, and actually headquartered down in Nashville. Mm. And I've got a contract with them for my books, and it's like when I signed up with them, Jesus, it was like signing I don't know if anybody's ever been to an industrial revenue bond for a building or anything like that, where you borrow a whole lot of money. You got about 6 inches of paper that you got to sign, put your name on.
Your soul.
Direction. Yeah, so it's really, but not everybody wants to do that. But I've done that before. Obviously you got to read what you're signing, but that's one thing that I did do. I've got this wonderful relationship with Ingram. And they helped me get things posted on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and it is a great service. But not everybody wants to have an account there and navigate their system. I've learned how to manage their system. And anybody worth their salt, I feel out there, has got to navigate that system. And I've taken time to learn that. And I've still got more to learn about it, but I've got pretty much the fundamentals down. I feel very confident about that, and that's what needs to happen if somebody is going to write a book and get it distributed in a timely manner. But that's just one piece of the equation. Go ahead.
Okay, I'm sorry. So before I forget, and I know you're covering this as we go along, but just in case we run short on time, I want to make sure we cover this well for our listeners.
I'll go off on you. So I've probably gone off a little bit. I probably told more than I need to there, but I did.
No.
Pull me back to where you want me to go. point me in the direction you want me to go. Where is that?
Let's say that there's this fellow, handsome, roguish fellow named Michael Sargent, that has an incredible book that he's been, because he's been working on it for so long, 15, 20 years, it's the next best thing, period. But he needs a little help moving forward. Let's say he's done all the editing, all of his best friends and used to be best friends have, had their say. And, now he's, wondering, well, what's the next step? I've got this finished manuscript, or maybe it needs to be edited a little bit more. Maybe another set of eyes does need to look at it. But he is now hell-bent on getting that work published for posterity, for the sake of humanity. This needs to go out there. People need to read this. So what is the next step for him, for Michael Sargent? How does he get that book published? What happens when he makes contact with John Clark?
Yeah. Well, my first question is, why do you think this book's any good? Who's told you that it's good? And if you say, well, I haven't shown it to anybody, it's just me. I think it's good. Well, chances are, I would say, is that you need to back up a couple of steps. You need to make sure that the book is good. You need to have people in the know tell you that it's good. At Old Stone Press, we don't take every book that comes down the pike. We are not interested in just printing anything. we were interested in printing, you know, best of class work. And folks that have work that has been possibly, maybe has been shown to, you know, the traditional press, and they've just gotten rejection after rejection. And there's a reason for that. There's probably feedback that has come back, and they'll tell them it doesn't fit or whatever, which is another word for saying we don't like your book. But the thing that, and this is the hard part, is to get someone in the know to tell you this book is good, it needs to be published, and that cannot be a friend. That's got to be someone that's a professional writer or publisher or a group of people that tell you that enough that you know that you can, you should invest your money in this and try to give it a go. And that's the first thing I would tell people. How do you know, is this book any good? And if they tell me, well, you know, I know it is because I wrote it. I go, really? I would go. Let's run it by a few folks and see if anybody likes it, because that's what I'm going to do. And I, you know, there are publishers. I've got a couple of friends that I show books to, and I really don't have a formal board, but that's not a bad way to vet things. I believe there's a couple of good publishers here in town even that have a review board, and they've got people that, you know, they're writers or publishers or good readers. You know, they're professional readers out there, which are interesting folks. They're people that just, all they want to do is read books, and they'll review them and put them on Amazon.com or you know, put them in Goodreads, which is another, you know, online, which actually now is owned by Amazon.com. Huh. Is starting to acquire things. But which is not bad. I mean, you know, it's, but this is the way of the future. The book, you know, there'll be something to challenge Amazon.com in the future, but I don't know what it is yet. But there will be other people that will evolve out of this and get a better handle, probably through the social network piece and apps and all that sort of thing. Somebody, some young guy right now is in his garage designing a new system, so we'll get that in a few years maybe, but maybe tomorrow. but
let me stop you right there just real quick.
Yeah.
Now, sure, there's going to be, you know, eventually something to compete with Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe that something is not something, but someone. Just like when we were discussing earlier about the rise of digital media and the pressure put on the publishing houses and traditional printed
presses. Yeah.
Yeah, presses. For a while there, I sort of believe. Well, you know,
let me. I'm not sure where you're going with this, but let me make a point here. Over my experience in running a business, there are things that there are wars to fight and there's battles to be fought and there's why try to invent the wheel? Let's use the tools that we have and make use of them better than anybody else has. Now, Amazon.com has given us one hell of a tool, and my job when I started, you know, I thought maybe Amazon's a competitor. I need to fight this. I need to, you know, and most presses have fought them, and that, except all of a sudden now you're finding that, you know, self-publishing is becoming becoming more and more recognized, and not as a some sort of vanity press thing that's going on here. It is there is a system evolving here, and that's what this partnership publishing is about. Either you're going to publish these darn books yourself. You're going to learn the system like I've just learned, and you're going to make all the money yourself by doing that and get bogged down in the system, or you're going to hire someone like me that's going to do a partnership publishing piece, or you're a celebrity like Oprah, and in a traditional house is going to take you on and pay you a lot of money up front and pay you, you know, 10% of the profits. There's only three ways to do this. Either do it all yourself, or let the traditional press take it on, or pay you some money and go and do it if they so choose, which is a small percentage, or you can invest in this yourself, and you take on a partner like me that has kind of learned the ropes and get yourself launched, and then maybe you start producing the books yourself if you like the system. But there's a lot of detail here, and there's a lot of work with that. Most authors, creative folks, don't want to get in that minutia. They got something to say, and they want everybody to hear it, and they want to concentrate on that. And those are the folks that I'm trying to find to help that the traditional press can't do it, won't pick them up, and they don't want to do the minutiae. They don't want to take care of the detail. They need a partner, and that's kind of what I've learned. I've evolved into, and there is the wave of the future. I just read an article the other day, I belong to an association called the Independent Book Publishers Association. There was an article in one of their magazines about this partnership publishing being the wave of the future, and it's extremely innovative. And I said, oh, wait a minute, this is exactly my model. This is perfect. This is what I've been doing. I didn't know I was doing it. I didn't know it was a wave of the future. I just thought it made sense. It was logical.
Exactly. And so you have just crystallized and succinctly explained, you've boiled it down to the essence what that other option is. What, you know, if you're not, you publish it yourself, you lay it at the feet of the big five, so to speak, or there is once again the human interaction that, you know.
Absolutely. Everybody, I find it's better, you know, why go it alone when you've got somebody that's kind of weeded through all the bullshit, excuse me, out there.
That's okay.
And has kind of whittled this down to something you can understand and has a system for it. I don't know everything. But what's fun is each book is new and different because it's going to talk to a different audience. So you discover ways together of how to get this in front. And it does take some money to invest in that, but there are ways that aren't so bad. You know, that you don't have to spend thousands. You can spend a few $100 to get into certain things. And my relationship that I've already built with certain services and things out there, you know, we can make it affordable.
Okay, so let's get back to earlier. We were touching on the example of this handsome and roguish fella, Michael Sargent, and
right.
his contribution to humanity. And
right,
so we're assuming now that he it has passed the smell test with
right.
people not associated with him. And so there we are, and enough people are saying, you know what, this is good stuff, actually.
Right.
You know, we're surprised as hell, but it's actually good stuff. Go get it. You need to get this published.
Yep.
And so, he comes to you.
Right.
And so what happens? Just in general. I know we don't want to give everything away, but what?
Yeah, no, there's a lot of things that can do. You probably, most manuscripts need a little copy editing or work, or you need a coach or a writing coach or somebody to bounce off your words, you know, to set and structure, you know, grammatical things and really challenge you on why did you say it this way and this chapter is a little goofy, you've kind of wandered here, you need to be open to have that, you need to invest in that, because this is where you start to fine tune your manuscript, And so you need to hire someone to help you with that. You really do. Most people should. Unless you're a prolific writer and you're something unusual about you, you know, that you're a professional writer out of some other, you know, maybe you're a journalist or something like that, you know, and you probably don't want to listen to any advice. But this is what I'm thinking is that we would talk about this. This may not be necessary for you, but this is what we talk about. Let's see if we can talk to somebody that'll at least give you a little professional read back on how your mechanics of putting your thoughts together have worked, you know, that sort of thing. That's what I would start. I think you still need to, and then you need to start, once that's kind of done, and probably all part of that is copy editing, making sure that the script is written and, you know, all the, everything's spelled right, punctuation's right and all that. And that's got to go through, a good copy editor there's some rules that copy editors go through that they apply to your manuscript to make sure that it's written. You don't want it out there if it's got grammatically not right, and you've got people that'll review your book and say, well, this guy doesn't even know how to write. He can't even put two sentences together. But there may be a reason for writing a sentence weird. You know, because that's part of the story. Part of the it's to make emphasis on something. But you got to know. I mean, if you went through Mark Twain's books, you start reading that stuff, and you go, Jesus, this guy didn't know what the hell he was talking about. I mean, he didn't know. You know, he couldn't put a sentence together. And you think he's talking another language. And some of this, you know, vernacular stuff that he wrote in. But I mean, here he is. I mean, you know, he's, you know, father of the American, you know, literature in some people's eyes, you know, kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But and maybe you will be too, in somebody else's mind. But you got to kind of go through these filters, and then once you get the script that's good and is ready to go. The second best thing, you've got to invest in design. And you can, you know, in this business, you can judge a book by its cover. You got to have a great cover. And you also have to have a good page layout, which is a template for, you know, putting headlines in and, you know, how the paragraphs break and the specification of type and how you handle all that. There's some books out there that have just never have had anybody with any design sense specify type, and that's is so important to me. How a page lays out and what kind of type is used and what typeface is used. Although that's an important thing because it says something about the book, how professional it is and how well it's been put together. Some people don't look at it that way. Some of these publishers out there that are these self-publisher services out there, they just wham, bam, thank you, ma'am, let's get it done and tell you that you can get a book done in a couple of months. So that's not true. It takes months and sometimes years to get a book published. It all depends on the type of book and what you're doing here, but, you know, months is usually what it takes. It's not unusual for a book to take, once you've got the manuscript, it takes 6 to 9 months to get before it even gets to press, because there's a lot of proofing, a lot of changes, a lot of things that go on in the process. And you want to be careful because no matter which book it is, you want it done right and you want it to hit the marketplace the best it can be. You know, so those are things that I think about. Then you got to start thinking about distribution and how you want to market the book. Some people think you need to go. You know, that all that's got to be planned way ahead of time. I think there's some of that has to happen. But I look at a book that's most books that I see I think of them as being timeless. I want them to be timeless. I want the books that, especially history books, someone has captured history and put it in a certain way for the for generations to come. That book's always going to be bought, and you're going to be working on how to sell and just distribute that book for the rest of your lifetime, probably. And so, not everything has to be done in the first 2 months of the life of a book. You have to really. And it's amazing how things come to you. New markets or new ways, new strategies come over the life of the book. You may not have, the first 6 months you have great sales because family and friends are buying the book. But then the next 6 months to a year, things may start to slow down. So you got to start thinking about investing some money in marketing and how you're going to sell the book and what markets you got to stimulate. And that takes advertising, or it takes a prolific social network effort. And that takes time to develop. And it's like building blocks. You slowly build this, put this thing together. So it's not going to happen overnight. Very few people get a book that, sells overnight. If you're a celebrity, yes. People are lining up to lend their work. And if you're a celebrity, that you'll probably have an agent. You'll have a publicist. You'll invest in all that. Minimum amount for a publicist is probably on retainers, probably about $3,000 a month. If you got that kind of money, it'll help, and it's a good idea. But most people don't have that kind of money to invest in their first book or even their first three or four books. Not until they build a following will they develop that kind of, turnover. The marketing public relations to some sort of a publicist to help them with that.
Well, John, thank you for letting us pick your brain here at Turquoise TRQ Turquoise Radio about this particular area, about this niche, this important piece that goes missing, that's been going missing for the aspiring author for so long. And I would like to continue this conversation in another conversation, and hopefully next week as we explore Hazlett's journal with you.
I'd love to do that.
Now, we are running close on time, but if you could, would you just give our listeners a quick peek, a little sneaking peek at just what Hazlett's journal is about? It's about your great-grandfather, correct?
That's correct. My great-grandfather was a Nebraska school teacher and an entrepreneur. He had an interesting life. This is in the late 1800s. There was a recession in the late 1800s. He had quit being a school teacher and had become gotten into the manufacturing business. He got into what was called the chicory business. Chicory, I don't know if anybody out there remembers what chicory is, but a lot of folks from Louisiana and probably over in the UK would understand what that, it's a root that grows in just about anybody's dirt. During the 1800s, late 1800s, there was a drought and there was a recession. Farmers couldn't grow a damn thing. And he developed a scheme where the federal government would pay the farmer to grow chicory. Chicory was, he would take the chicory, grind it up into a blend, and mix it into coffee. Coffee was very expensive at that time. Coffee, through the embargo during the Civil War, you couldn't get, New Orleans port was closed up and you could not get coffee. So coffee became very expensive, a little of it that did make it through. So chicory was used to cut that. Down in Louisiana, people still have a blend of coffee and chicory. They like the taste of it. But anyway, he had this factory, and for a couple of years he did very well with that. Had over 100 employees, whatever. And then eventually the subsidiary the federal government quit paying the the farmers and the business pretty much went away, and he had to close the factory up. And this is in about 1897, and he had to close the factory up. He wasn't a teacher anymore. He had a curious little incident where one of his partners in a real estate deal was hung by vigilantes, and he decided that he needed to move on to something else. And at that time, there was a discovery of gold in the Great Alaska Territory in 1896. He and another partner got together, got on a train, took the train up to Seattle, outfitted themselves, and went into the Alaska Territory looking for gold.
And let me stop you right there. We don't want to give any more away than that, because we're going to discuss that incredible journey and adventure next week on Right to Be Heard. John, I want to thank you again for taking the time to talk to us about Old Stone Press and about your journey into the world of publishing. You've been listening to Right to Be Heard on TRQTurquoiseRadio.com.